Who the Wild Things Are with Ryan McGuire.
You gotta listen to your body.
Oh my God, maybe, you know, I could get out there. I could do this.
Let's take a ride. Find your wild side. Real stories. See with your own eyes.
It's so beautiful.
I'm gonna have the best time out here.
Yeah, I was in tears. I was just like, that's the best, man.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about the attempt. The 24-hour assault bike world record attempt.
When is this happening?
It is happening, what, like 2 weeks from now?
Less than that.
April 29th and 30th, I'm going to be attempting the world record for the most miles biked on an assault bike, which is a stationary fan bike, which uses the arms and legs.
Sounds brutal.
For the kids.
Okay, so how did the idea come about?
So,
like, in its most embryonic form.
Well, I always hated the assault bike, and I would use it to train because I thought it was miserable. And then lately, I haven't been able to run. My feet are like kind of jacked up. I hurt them while I was like wearing boots snowshoeing in the mountains, and I haven't really been able to run. So started assault biking more, and then I was like, why don't I just try the world record? Because it sucks and it sounds miserable, and now we're here. Now I can't back out.
No, I realized I never said my name.
Who are you?
My name is Lauren.
What do you do here?
I produce and edit the podcast.
Who do you know here?
And we share a home. We're roommates. All right. So you couldn't walk, honestly, for a long time. It was kind of scary because so many of your favorite things and so many of our favorite things are on our feet. I think you had this idea before you couldn't walk. Like, you've always wanted to do like giant things. Like, you've always shot for pretty ambitious feats, but this is like one of the most ambitious. So like, when did the idea of a world record in general, like, did that pop in your head before your feet got hurt?
I think I did have the idea. I had tossed it around in my head at the end of last year, maybe November, like when I got an assault bike. I was like, I wonder, you know, how far somebody could go in a day or a year. Like, I thought about different time frames, but I never took it seriously, and I certainly never trained for it. And then I think, yeah, hurting my feet just kind of stabilized my mind on just the assault bike, because there was less other big adventures to do. It sounds entertaining, but here's the thing about the assault bike. It is the most boring thing. Well, stationary bikes in general. Like, I like to do endurance events because I like to go out and I like to explore. I like to get in the mountains. I want to see like a porcupine in the tree or a bear eating, you know, acorns in the valley. I don't want to like sit inside and just rot away on an assault bike. But here we are.
Yeah, that is the opposite of like everything you stand for.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, I'm a walking conundrum.
I would bet you would do an outside 24-hour bike ultra before you would do an inside.
Sure. I mean, I've 24. Done a couple of things that are 24 or 48, you know, or, you know, big month-long trips outside that are pretty rigorous, but those are fun. This is not going to be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, hopefully there will be bright points, but it's going to be a suffer fest.
Yeah. Well, at least you have a good mental idea, expectation, in a way of going through it. But I think also the difference with this is that there is a record out there that has been beaten recently.
Yeah. So I got to get clarification. I'm pretty sure when I looked it up the first time, it was a bald dude. He was an Aussie. And he did it for this charity. I remember seeing this the first time I looked it up. It was like a kid's charity for melanoma or leukemia or something like that. And then I looked it up again, and it was basically the same record. So I think somebody kind of inched him out. And this guy's name was Ethan Fleming. And now I've been looking into this gentleman, Ethan Fleming. Total savage. he pulled a 2-ton car, like a big Jeep, 100 kilometers, like with a harness on, which is pretty savage. He has 5 Guinness World Records. So, and I'm pretty sure he said on his Instagram story, the 24-hour assault bike was the hardest thing he's ever done. He also did 11,400 burpees in a day, which that sounds miserable. But yeah, the guy's a savage, but he's been super nice. Like, he's very much into having people attempt these sorts of things. He believes in it, and I think he believes in sharing the essence of not just the event, but what goes into it, the training, the discipline, the ripple butterfly effect that it puts into other people's lives. You know, I think he does a lot of this stuff. He's a personal trainer, I think, and he sees that it has effects on other people. And I think ultimately that's what you want to do as someone in this position, is just inspire somebody to take that first step. You know, I don't think, you know, David Goggins is expecting everyone to run the Badwater, but I think, you know, people that have that kind of goal just want to tip the scale slightly and encourage somebody to take the first step.
Yeah. I think there's also another layer to that. Like, why do you think people like you or like Ethan or like David Goggins or like Don, why do people like you want to set a world record?
That's a good question. I wouldn't really put me with them. I would say those three are definitely a different breed than me. I'm in the normal folks camp. They're in the ultra endurance camp. I don't really think I belong on that yet. You are, you know, I can say I'm doing this, but I haven't done anything. You know, I haven't achieved any of the stuff that those people have achieved. The world record, I think when I was a kid, I loved Guinness World Record books. I thought it was so cool to be the best at something. It's such a rare opportunity to like feel like you are the best at something. So there's certainly like a little bit of ego in that, but it's a balance, right? I think all of us, you know, there's ego there, but then there's the other part of what can it accomplish? You look at Goggins and the Wounded Warriors, or mine is going to be this charity called Porter Billups, which is a kid's charity. And when you become the best at something, or when you do something the best that it's ever been done, it's one of those things that gets a lot of eyeballs, and it provides an opportunity to speak out about a cause that you believe in. So I think there's a lot of layers to why I want to do this. But the most important is just to figure out what I'm made of over everything. Like, I want to raise money for people. World records are cool. The event's going to be fun, but ultimately it's for me. And that's why I want to do it. And I think if you do it for any other reason, you'll fall short if you're not doing it for yourself.
Right. Like, doing it for the superficial reasons.
Yeah, like Goggins can say, I'm doing it for all of my brothers, and all of that helps. All of like the external motivations help, but you also have to be there for yourself.
Yeah, fair.
To find out what you're made of.
I will backtrack a little and say you are in their camp. I think what's really fascinating is like your perception of where you belong in this world and what you're, where you place yourself amongst others. And I think most people, even people like Don, would place you right next to them. Mm. I think that, first of all, the fact that all four of you, and there's multiple others, but the fact that all four of you even want to attempt this puts you somewhere in the same category. I would bet so much money that all four of you have suffered immensely in your life. Mm. I would bet that you guys have gone through so much heartbreak and trauma and trials and tribulations. You're willing to test it. Mm-hmm. you know, because you've gone pretty far down that path and you know that you've come out. I think you know in your head that you have a little bit of durability. And mm-hmm. I think you personally really push that envelope. And I think that's what makes you in their camp, just to say, just to fact check you, because I know that you won't say this about yourself, but
I think an interesting thing to think about is you can tell what kind of trauma the endurance athlete has gone through by the charity that they choose.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So you have like the one gentleman, God, I wish I knew his name, but there's no record book for Guinness. It's only who's at the top right now. If anyone knows his name, let me know. But his was like the child cancer org. He probably went through some dark shit. Goggins, all of his friends dying or whatever that story came down to. I'm not exactly sure the particulars, but you know, that kind of thing. And then for me, mine is just like trying to have a positive impact on kids' lives, because I didn't have positive role models. Like, it was just like common ground for the men in my life to go to prison, get kicked out of school, guns, drugs, violence, abuse, and hopefully, I don't know, maybe I'll be a light for some inner city kid that is seeing those same things.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be some inner city kid. Like, people who look at your Instagram or who you are, your profile or anything like that, if they knew what was, you know, under the surface, I don't know, I think that people would really fully get the picture. It's because you spread such a positive message. Like, your life could have gone so in the opposite direction. Like, you could be, you know, just like wasting your life away, and you're not. So I think that's super cool. I mean, you definitely take it a step further than anyone I've ever met. But anyways, so you decided that you're going to do 24 hours. You decided you're going to attempt the world record. Where do you even begin training?
Well, so I kind of like got serious about it, and I called Ruthie and Bo, who owned V23. I had applied. So there's this long application process with Guinness, and you wait weeks, months, whatever. And then I get the answer from them saying, yo, your application has gone through. You may now review the guidelines, organize, and attempt. So I call Ruthie and Bo, because the first thing is like securing the venue, and they're, you know, tremendous people, and I knew that they would be interested in doing psycho things at their gym. So shout out to V23. And Ruthie was like, there's this weekend at the end of the month where we don't have anything going on. And I was like, all right, let's do it the end of the month. And so basically had like 4 weeks ish to really nail down like training. And my training has not been regimented or planned meticulously. I've never written anything down like this day 50 miles on the bike, this day 100 miles on the bike. It's just go by feel, have fun, and spend as much time with my ass in the seat as possible. So what I did was I essentially put some weights, like some plates, and I situated a piece of plywood over my assault bike. And so the thought was, I can sit there, I can watch other documentaries, I can, you know, do some computer work, I can do whatever it takes, and I can just have my legs spinning on the assault bike and getting used to my butt on that seat, because that is the determining factor for a lot of this, is your ability to stay in the saddle and getting used to telling your brain to fuck off when your brain says, hey, you need to get off and do this thing. Like, you will even trick yourself to peeing like 3-4 times an hour if you're assault biking, if you don't pay attention to it, because your body will start telling you, you need to get off to do this thing. You forgot to X, you forgot to Y, and you'll just start making these excuses in your head as to why you need to get off the bike. So my whole strategy is just figure out how to get comfortable for as many hours a day as possible in the saddle.
Yeah, I remember when you said the date for this thing, like, oh, I'm going to attempt a world record April 29th. And I was like, yeah, okay. Like, I was kind of like, we just picked a random day. Like, what do you mean? That was like a month ago. And then like, as it gets closer, I'm like, oh shit. Like, this is serious. But I'm glad that you're training more than you did for your 100 miler, because you went into an ultra last October with zero training. So you know a little bit about the ultra world, and you certainly have some experience, but this one is going to take a little bit more mind power, you think?
Yeah, they're different beasts. I mean, that 100 was, I think, on the longer efforts, that was probably definitely top three, but maybe the hardest thing I did last year. I'm trying to think. That might have been the hardest thing I did last year. I think this will be the second hardest thing that I do this year, and maybe the hardest thing I've done up to this point. We have one other adventure planned for this year, which is going to be maybe even more crazy. But yeah, I'm expecting this to be the hardest 24 hours of my life.
So like, logistically, what does your training look like right now? Like, what do your days look like?
I mean, I'm doing a big weight session every morning. That's just me every day, non-negotiable. I train every morning. You obviously know this, but that hasn't been really focused on the assault bike any more than it usually is. I do assault bike intervals sometimes, or run, row, things like that, but it's not just focused on assault bike. After I get done with that weight session, I'll usually come home or be at V23 or somewhere, and I'll just spend for a couple hours. And it's not me pacing. I'm not looking at the mileage. I'm not looking at anything. I'm just trying to spend as much time in the saddle as possible and just spinning my legs out all day long. That's really the goal.
So you've done two like large efforts, probably your longest efforts you'll do before the attempt. So you did an 8 hour and then a 12 hour.
The 8 hour, I mean, it's not crazy, like 8 hours of biking. Typically what I'm doing with these longer efforts is I am splitting it up with biking outside, just so that I'm having fun. I love to bike outside. And one thing I love that people probably don't know, like, I love biking when it's hectic. So I love like mountain biking. I loved our bike rides in Manhattan. Just like a hint of danger and just like speeding down the streets, sometimes on e-bikes, going super fast and just like dodging cars. So I like to get outside and like have fun with the bike riding. I want it to be engaging, and the assault bike is anything but engaging. It's literally torture. So what I would do for the efforts, like these longer 8 and 12s that you're talking about, is hit 3, 4, 5 hours in the morning, go out, road bike or mountain bike for an hour or two, come back in, suffer some more. So yesterday, like you said, we did the 12 hour bike. I got up at 7. I was on the bike at 8. So I biked from 8 to 1, 17 miles an hour, which is the pace I need for 24 hours to hit 408 total miles. So 17 times 24 is 408. The current world record is 395.8. So that would smash the world record if I can hold that for 24. So that's the pace that I run at or bike at. And I biked till 1. Aaron came over. We went out. We did a loop. I put Aaron through it because I'm in really good biking shape right now. Poor guy's like, this is my first bike of the season. I'm like, oh, we're going for it.
Did you do the pavement or the mountain bike?
No, we mountain biked.
Oh, damn.
He was a great sport, though. We had a really good time. Came back and hopped in the cold plunge. So the mountain bike session with the cold plunge lasted 2 hours. So it was 5 hours, 2 hours of the mountain bike sesh, and then 5 more hours at night to finish it off.
And when you were biking the 12 hours, in your head, you were like, I know I can hold this pace for 24, because 17 miles an hour, like, you're moving. Your pace is fast.
Yeah, no, I don't know. And I don't know. The thing is, there's no playbook for this. No one knows where. With ultras, it's like, okay, for the last like 30 years, there's been a bunch of science projects and taking the best athletes from all around the world, the Killian Jornets, and seeing what is possible, right? And just that number slowly coming down and down and down and down. only really three people probably have ever attempted this. It's less than 10 people ever, right? I mean, there's not a lot of people that attempt this. So there's not really a human limit that's known. So it's me just trying to figure out, okay, here's the world record. I think I can beat that. How much can I beat it by without burning myself out? Because what you don't want to do is be like, oh, I can go 19 miles an hour, and you do that for 12 hours, you get 12 hours in, you're just toast. So I've only gone 12 hours, and you saw me when I got off the bike last night. Like, I had more juice. Like, I could have kept going, especially after the tacos.
I think you have the mind for it. I don't know what's in your brain. I don't know if they could like scan our brains and like see what the difference between someone like you or like me is, because let me tell you, I was sitting my ass on that couch the whole time. You were fucking...
No, you were chefing.
Like, no, I know. I did cook a lot, but I'm saying like, I don't... I think that the mental part of it is so fascinating to me, what makes someone like you and me different, because there's a lot more me's than there are you's in this world, right? And everyone who's like me almost wishes they could be like you. But I think while our brains must be different and our past must be different, most people in your position would say like, we're not that different.
I don't think we're different. Like, I don't think there's anything I have that you don't. I think it's just where we spend our energy.
I don't know about that. I think there's a lot that you have that I don't.
I don't. I honestly, I feel much more like you than I feel like Don or an Ethan. I feel like I feel very similar to you in many respects. When I look at those people, I'm like, they like Goggins is different. Like, you know, people that are like Don, very different. But...
Do you think like, and this is kind of off on a tangent here, but do you think that there's like something active in the brain, right? Where if like something horrible or trauma or a hard past kicks into it, people go like two ways. People either like get hopeless and like turn into drunks and waste away their lives, or they like kick it up into high gear. Do you think that you have that when you're born, right? And then you're kind of hit with something and you kind of split off?
I mean, I think a lot of the things that encourage that bad behavior are the same pieces of your genomics that fire up incredible endurance feats.
That's so true.
Like you see it so many times, the Robbie Ballingers, the Rich Rolls, these guys that are incredible athletes that were just drunks. You know, they're just boozers. They wanted the party. And they didn't half-ass anything. I had a great, I had an awesome football coach one time. And I asked him, he played football and wrestling, I think both at the Division I level. And I said, well, did you ever party in college? And his answer, stone cold, he said, I've never half-assed anything in my life. Basically saying, like, I party hard, I work hard, I do all those things hard. And I think a lot of those folks have that same reality where their first life was despair, what we look at as despair now. But in that moment, it's just a lot of partying and them having a good time, and then them applying those same principles into an obsessive life of training and achieving rather than boozing and being the life of the party.
Yeah. Had you had a life like mine, very cushy, do you think that you would be attempting the world record on April 29th?
Are you saying that... Okay, let me dissect that question. You're saying, is my trauma fueling this decision?
Is it the events that happened in your life, or is it your DNA?
I always feel like I was kind of born to do stuff like this. Like, I guess the way I look at it is like, I have brothers who ended up in very different situations, but we're given the same circumstances, right? So I think we all kind of have this like innate mission or gift or purpose that we're pursuing from a young age. And your traumas may lead you in one way or another, but I don't think they dictate the actions that come later in life.
That's fair. I'll take it for now. I think there's more to it. I'm sure there's a little bit of both. There's a little bit of DNA.
I'm open.
I'm
just assuming. I'm open to right. your reflection.
Yeah. I absolutely think it's a part of it, but I also think you're right. I think it is a part of your DNA.
You're saying I got demons and that's why I'm going to bike for 24.
100,000,000%. I know you got demons because I sleep next to you. I sleep next to you and you got demons. I think a lot of really incredible athletes have demons. And it's not like a prescription.
I think a little bit of it is like, it's perspective because you look at it. Like I look at my life like I've had a great life and a ton of blessings and all this stuff. And not really until I met you did you point out, you know, a lot of the, how crazy a lot of the experiences were.
Is that really true?
Yeah. I mean, I've never internalized them until really talking about them with you to the same extent. Like, cause I always compare down. I'm like, you know, I had the greatest mom in the world and I'm like, what more could I ask for?
Yeah.
I have a great relationship with my brothers and sisters, and a lot of the people I got to grow up were fantastic people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try not to focus on any of the unfortunate circumstances.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. All right, now I'm going to ask a question that everyone is wondering, that the first question that everyone asks when they hear that you're doing 24 hours on the bike. Do you know what that question is?
What is it?
It's Pee Pee Caca.
Oh, Pee Pee Caca.
The logistics, the day of this event. Mm. What does it look like for you peeing? What does it look like for you eating? What does the day of, in your mind, look like for you?
Yeah, so I'm not going to act like I have all the answers right now because we're still figuring it out. Mainly like figuring out with Ruthie the logistics. How I would like to do it is I would like to piss outside. You don't have to aim. You get sunshine, you get fresh air. So there's like that side door out there. If I have the bike area, like my kind of little square or whatever, close to that door, and I can just walk out there and open the door and pee, that's probably ideal for me. This is for a kid's charity though. So like there is like, I guess women maybe don't think about this as much, but you have to be very careful as an adult male about where you're peeing, especially in today's day and age. Like, it's very dangerous to pee anywhere that there's kids around, because you can get in a lot of trouble that sticks with you for the rest of your life. So that is something that I've thought about. Like, if there is 100 children from this charity there, I'm going to have to figure that out. If I got to do the dirty and go number two, Ruthie said that she was just going to put like a sign on one of the bathrooms, like don't use it, and that I could just run and use it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't really figured all the answers out there.
Another question we hear a lot is like, will you get off the bike? And you just kind of answered it a little bit, but essentially you can get off the bike as much as you want, right?
You can get off the bike as much as you want. My goal will be, I mean, at most getting off the bike once an hour. And the way this is all based, I learned all this yesterday. Remember, I was in the pain cave and I was telling you, I was like, I'm learning a lot.
You were so delirious, dude, yesterday. I wish I would have whipped the camera out. I just never think to, because like if you're on a 12-hour bike, I'm on a 12-hour of suffering next to you. Yeah. But you were just saying some shit like you were sleep talking.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you say crazy shit when you sleep talk.
Yeah. But when you go that hard, like for 12 hours, you have no... I think it's fat storage. Like you can't make any sense of anything in your head. For example, I was talking to Aaron, who is next to me, and I was trying to tell him the math, how I'm getting 17 every mile. And I couldn't add 17s, like for the life of me, couldn't figure it out. And then I would add it 17 times 4, and I would add it on my phone and I'd start biking again. And 1 second later, literally 1 second later, I'd forget what the number was. And I would have to do it like, every 5 minutes, I would have to do 17 times 4, 17 times 4, 17 to keep reminding me what my mile goal was. Because I just couldn't, when you're pushing, you just can't hold on to it.
Actually, thinking of yesterday, what did you learn about nutrition? Like what worked, what didn't work? Were you in a major deficit the whole day?
Well, one more thing on the pee thing. I think I will have a pee bottle as an option. Because I was getting off to pee sometimes mid-hour, which is not what I want to do. Because then you eat up that 1 or 2 minutes that you would have for your time break at the end. Like, you just barely get to 17.
Are you, you're planning on being in that corner with like the,
where the two racks are.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
Because then I can open both garage doors and it'll feel like I'm outside.
Right, right. Maybe we could, you know, put a projector of like animals or something like that for you.
Yeah. So they were like, we can play it on the TVs, like stuff on the TVs, but I actually want a TV down low because I don't want to crane my neck.
Yeah.
And like be doing one of those.
I also wonder if like even like a computer and like headphones.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That way you can just like be in your own world and not be worried about. Because another thing is like this V23 has to be open to the public. And there will be classes and there will be people coming in, just coming in for their regular Saturday morning workout before they go to brunch with the girls. And there's certainly a possibility that people are going to be like, what the heck is that crazy caveman doing in the corner peeing in a bottle?
I got to go pee. Speaking of that, we are back. Where were we? Pee-pee caca?
A laptop. With headphones, so yeah. You're in your own world,
yeah.
Because it has to be open to the public. So there will be a bunch of people there. So it's kind of a different beast. I don't know if that, I mean, I think it makes it easier, the fact that there's going to be people around, because it could certainly inspire you. But I think that it can also be, it can be hard, because, you know, whatever their energy is like can be contagious.
What I actually dreamed about this last night, and I hadn't thought about it, and probably because I did 12 hours last night. But it's having it kind of roped off and having one entrance so that I have my bike. I have the extra bike that no one's allowed to touch per Guinness. Like, you have to have a reserve bike. And then a bike to the right of me, which is the pacing bike. So if like friends want to come in, have them come in this one spot. That way it's not like people crowding around, because I think the crowding feeling is what I wouldn't want.
Yeah, Don said something about having a sign. Also, like, what a gift to have someone like Don that could give. Because we had a meeting like a couple weeks ago where we sort of talked about logistics and everything like that. And he said so many mind-blowing things that I would have never thought about for the event, like creating a sign to, you know, just let people know what's going on, so that not everyone's asking you like, so what are you doing? And like,
yeah.
Oh my God, do I want, I was like, are you gonna pipi caca on the bike? You know, like,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah, I think a big whiteboard in front will be nice. And yeah, just having it kind of blocked off in the whiteboard in front, so that what I don't want, well, one, no one can touch the bike. I don't want somebody to come up, because you know how it is when we're at the gym. Like, I'll come up and like grab Eric's nipple or something while he's on the bike, and obviously Eric will know what's going on. But like, if a friend comes up and doesn't realize what's happening and starts like messing with the bike or messing with me and doesn't realize, that would be like a bad situation.
Totally.
So I want it to be like just very clear, so no one like has any misconceptions. The other thing, I'm gonna ride on the bike or write on the front board if we have one, is like, please pace at X pace, like 55 RPMs. Because what you don't want is somebody coming up next to you and like ripping, and subconsciously I start going faster and burn myself out, and then I'm in like this huge deficit.
Yeah.
So ideally you have somebody come up and pace with you. Like, yeah. Imagine Don is on hour 20 of his treadmill thing and somebody comes up and starts doing sprints next to him. Like, that's not what you want. What you want is somebody to come up and just like grind it out with you and ride next to you at your pace. So
I think it's also so cool how many of your friends have like rallied around you, and how many people are like investing their time and energy into this, you know, like people like Jacob and Isaac and Eric, who just like hopped on a phone with a bunch of incredible brands that we love. And even these brands that we use have been so supportive and have been sending a bunch of stuff to the house for the event, which is like, I think, super, super cool. Kind of scary, to be honest. Yeah. Also, but I
Why
think
is it scary?
It's scary because there's so many people believing in you. Like,
yeah.
It's like that added pressure you know, and I know, like, in my heart that, like, we will walk out of there in 24 hours and you will have beat the record. Like, I know that deep in my soul. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, like, a big thing. And you're really investing in yourself. And a lot of people are investing in you. And I think that's crazy. Like, yeah. To do something this big. Like, that's wild.
I'm glad that you know I'm going to beat it, because I don't.
I do. I know that you have the mind for it. And I know that I will be there for pretty much all of 24 hours. We'll see what April 29th, the morning of, looks like, but I'll definitely be there through the night. And I do have a few tricks up my sleeve to get you out of some mental holes, but I'm sure your family will be there to help, which will be great. But yeah, you definitely have the mind for it. It, like, you know, it's funny because I tell people I know, or people like my clients and stuff like that, and I'm like, yeah, he's doing 24 hour. And they look at me like, oh my God, he's crazy. And like, I'm like, no, he's going to do it. Like, he's going to beat the world record. They just think it's such a far off thing. And I'm like, yeah, it is a little cuckoo, but like, if someone's going to beat it, it's definitely you.
It feels a little cuckoo.
Yeah, no, it's, you're definitely cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, no doubt. But it's probably why I like you, honestly. Like, can you imagine if I was just dating someone who was just, like, playing video games all the time? I think about that, too, because...
I've been thinking about making the Switch.
No, please don't. Please don't.
Trading in my spears and rocks and knives for controllers, Xbox, consoles, and TVs.
No, I think about that a lot because I'm definitely way more... I'm more of a homebody than you, for sure. I like to do less. I love to be horizontal, and you love to be vertical.
Yeah.
So I think that offers an interesting dynamic between us, but for some reason it works really well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do appreciate that you want to do something crazy. Like, we're on this planet for such a short amount of time. Like, go for the fucking world record. What's the worst that's going to happen? You don't get it? Mm-hmm. We all die. Like, anyone who's going to be, like, anyone who's alive now in 100 years will no longer be here. Mm-hmm. And 99.9% of people that are alive right now aren't attempting a world record. So, like, the fact that you're even stepping into the ring is the fucking coolest thing ever, right? Because that's what we should all be doing, stepping into the ring of whatever it is. It doesn't have to be a world record, but none of us are going to be here in 100 years. Mm-hmm. So why not go up against the most challenging, hardest thing and like, take a stab at it? Because it's not really going to matter in 100 years. Unless you beat it and no one comes after you, then that shit's going to matter. And you're going to be like... Let's go. You know, I beat a world record when I was 27.
Yeah. I've been thinking about, I'm not a tats guy, but I was thinking about giving myself like some Sharpie tats, mainly to up my street cred, but also on the bottom of the forearms so that I don't see it the whole time. Because, you know, my hands will be up like this, or palms will be down. But occasionally I'll be able to turn over my wrist and look at, I have two forearms. And one of them that I was thinking about yesterday was Memento Mori, which is, have you heard of that? Basically in Greek, it means remember too that you shall die. And it's not meant to be a negative thing. It's more like a stoicism thing. Like, live your life with the veracity that you'll be happy when that time comes. That you'll be proud of the things that you went after. And acknowledging your time is even briefer than you're expecting, right? Everyone's like, you're only on this planet for 100 years. I'm like, who do you know that's 100, dog? How many people? I'm like, it could be any day. So whatever that thing is, you got to go do it today. It's emblematic, and it's unleashing yourself from that fear of death and allowing it to empower you.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I think in theory that sounds great. And like in this moment, I feel really inspired. But when I leave this room, my ass is going to sleep. You know what I mean? But I think that's such a good perspective to have. Why not try the hardest thing and fail? Like, why not go up against failure? I mean, who am I fucking I should be with a mirror right here talking to myself, but
yeah, it's worth remembering, like, that you do fail. I've had like more doses of humble pie in the last 2 years than I could imagine. Like, I have fallen flat on my face many times in the last couple of years. And, you know, people look at what, oh, because you decided to do a world record, that you're something great. I'm not. And nobody that does this sort of thing is any better than anyone else. I've particularly probably been worse than most people and just fallen flat a lot the last couple of years. But that's not going to stop me from continuing to pursue. It's just going to make me find new avenues.
Is there something in the past, however long, that randomly came in handy when you're training for this big feat or just ultras in general? Is there something like in your life that helped you with ultras that isn't obvious?
Yeah, I mean, I have a massive leg up in long endurance events because of my time spent in the bush. And usually I would say it probably goes the opposite for people is, you know, you start doing ultra endurance events and you get into backcountry stuff. Mine has kind of been the opposite. I was spending a lot of time in the backcountry, and because of that, I became an endurance athlete. So I've had so many sleepless nights, living in caves, living in the desert, negative degrees, battling through life and death situations, sometimes for multiple days, where I wasn't sure if I was going to live. I wasn't sure if Willow was going to live, you know, to the point where I've gotten to a lot of those dark places that most people would only hit during an endurance event. And I've hit that just from wilderness living experiences. And I think maybe that crossover gives me a little bit of an advantage. And you might not immediately think about it unless you're pretty, you know, unless we're good friends and we've chatted about some of those stories.
Yeah, we're good friends. That's fair, though. I think it's so interesting because you have such like this, you know, and there's times when they come together when you're athlete and your like primitive innate instincts like blend together, but it's very rare. And a lot of times they feel like almost at odds because we work out at like really nice. I mean, not even really nice. I mean, V23 is very nice, but we work on gyms like indoors, really functionally in a normal gym. You know, we live in a normal house, and I know living in a house is like a little bit newer for you. But then you have this other side that's like the complete opposite. Mm-hmm. How do you balance those two things in your life, feeding both and feeling like fulfilled?
I mean, it's hard to have both all the time. I just try to make time for both sides. But I've lived that way my whole life. I've been, you know, very academic. Been in business consulting, and then at the same time gone on large primitive excursions with both of those seasons in my life. And, you know, now I have a podcast where I have electronic microphones in front of me. I'm competing in high rocks and like, you know, a lighted room full of concrete where last year I was living in the bush. So I don't mind that dichotomy. It actually feels good to me to have the best of both worlds. I don't think like a primitive survivalist has to hate modernity, and I don't think that anybody living in the real world should be afraid of being in touch with nature. I think the issue is that, especially because of social media, we want to label people as one thing, and we're forgetting to understand that humans are multivariate. We are all so many different things inside of us, but what sells is an easy story to capture. It's really hard to sell podcaster in a studio mixed with primitive survivalists, right? They're at odds. They don't make sense. It's not easily understood. But what's really easily understood is survivalist or podcaster. So people tend to stick to one of those things. And that's the easier route to success, which I'm not interested in.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit.
I think it also, when it comes to categories and labels, like humans certainly think in categories, and I think it makes people safer, feel safer if they can say, well, he's that wilderness guy and he lives in over there, you know, when people can slap a label on you, like mine is always fucking artsy. Oh, she's artsy. She's over there. She's like, well, I'm not always art. Like, we're so nuanced as humans.
Yeah, you're artsy, but you're also the gym girl. And yeah. It's like, well, those are opposites. They can't be the same thing. Like, artsy people are edgy and they don't go with the flow. And working out is popular and trendy and about being easily digestible. And artsy is literally going against the flow. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can you be both?
Yeah.
And the answer is we all are. And specialization is for insects. It's fucking bullshit. You can be everything that you want to be all at once.
That's fair. I also think it's interesting because you and I are very different and I spend no time in the bush, have never camped before. And
You camped.
I slept in the back of a truck once when you ran 100 miles and I had to pace you and crew you.
Yeah, we'll get you out there. You'll be in a year singing songs of the plants in 16 months.
God. Yeah. 16 months.
Yeah.
My natural hair is going to come out. I'm going to be looking like fucking Tom Hanks in Castaway.
You're going to have the Jerry curl.
The Jerry curl. What are you going to do after this attempt?
You want to get into it? Should we tell him?
Yeah, 100%.
I'm going to.
Nice.
That is a whole nother.
Yeah,
we might just have to bleep that out.
I was thinking more of the Ruby Waters concert that we had that night.
We're bleeping that out. So our favorite artist, cumulatively, I would say it's my favorite artist, it might be your second, is Ruby Waters. She is very artsy and naturalistic, so maybe that's why we both love her. And she's coming to Denver for the second time in 2 years. She's very rarely in the States, typically in Canada, and they'd be locking them Canadians up there. So she's coming here probably the only time of the whole year, and it happens to be on April 30th, which is the day that I finish the attempt. So the plan is get done on the 30th at 9 a.m., beat the world record, slap hands with a bunch of folks, take a couple pictures, head back home, pass out, sleep until 5-6 p.m., wake up, go see Ruby Waters.
I think it's actually kind of smart to have something really exciting planned for after, just no matter what happens, right? Whether you win or lose, like, there will be a Ruby Waters waiting for you on the other side. And we're going to be obviously just exhausted and it's going to be rough just to even stand for you. But I think it's a good idea to end it like that.
I want the people to vote on whether or not my wheelchair idea was a good idea.
Oh my God. I think
it's possible that I show up to the concert with a wheelchair, and I think it's a great idea. Lauren disagrees.
No, I'm not bringing in a wheelchair to Ruby. First of all, you're going to want to dance your little booty off. I'm going to wheel you in. Everyone's going to think you're crippled, and I have to explain to them that you're not crippled. And then we're going to go up to the front, and your ass is going to jump out of the chair when she sings Casamigos. Like, there's no way you're going to stay in that chair, and I think that you have the legs to stand after that. I mean, you'll be asleep for the whole day for sure. But, dude, I even remember your ultra, your 100-mile race. That whole next day, you were just like zonked. I think we watched some football or something like that, and we got home at like 10 a.m. that morning or something.
Yeah, the next day.
I want to think of some rapid fire to end it. Okay, all three related to world record attempt, right? A short mantra that you'll take with you for the 24 hours?
I just keep getting faster.
That's a good one. The thing you'll eat the most during the attempt?
Probably gummy worms.
And the thing you're most excited to watch while you do the world record?
Definitely UFC fights. The entire thing is, in my mind, is a 24-hour fight. One round at a time. Each round is an hour. 17 miles wins me around. So while I'm doing that in the same spirit, I think watching combat sports makes a lot of sense. So I'm going to watch all my favorite UFC fights. Israel Adesanya, John Jones, all the greats, you know, the Spider, everybody.
Yeah. Well, if you're around on April 29th, we're starting at 9 a.m. V23 in Centennial, Colorado.
Everyone's invited.
Everyone, please come. I mean, at any time.
Bring donuts.
bring food, bring people, bring good vibes.
We're and maybe need bring them. A little cash for the kids at Porter Billups. You know what I'm saying? Just maybe a couple of dollars.
Yes. Yeah. Just bring a couple of dollars.
It's for the children.
For the children. All right. Well, it was a pleasure podcasting with you. Hope to do this again sometime.
Are we going
to
shake hands?
We're going to shake hands. Don't you dab everyone up at the end of your... You dab all the guys up at the end of your podcast.
I'm down to dab, but I'm not trying to shake your hand. That's low.
All right. That was good.
Love you guys.